What year is this? What is this, 1814? It's, come on, people, it's 2014.
I think the male version of the gay community, I think they like old ladies.
They appreciate a broad.
Yeah, I think it's saucy broads. They appreciate broads with a sense of humor.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Democracy-fearing Chinese cops detain LGBT activists. A Golden Girl and her hot in Cleveland cronies celebrate queer theater. And a bearded and unstoppable Austrian drag queen conquers Eurovision. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Chris Ann Eastwood.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 10th, 2014. As the 25th anniversary approaches of the crushing of democracy protests in Tiananmen Square, Chinese police detained 9 human rights activists at a Beijing hotel this week who were scheduled to lead a seminar on how LGBT groups can register as non-governmental organizations. But what apparently caught the eye of officials was the seminar also being advertised as a critical examination of civil society and the state. Chinese authorities are apparently taking no chances of anything even close to Tiananmen Square happening again when, in early June 1989, they used overwhelming military force to end a burgeoning democracy movement that had occupied the square. One of the organizers of this week's seminar, Yu Fengcheng, told the New York Times that about 15 to 20 police came to our hotel at 1:30 in the morning in 3 vehicles and took 5 of us away. He said that they also confiscated the cell phone of one of the detainees and sent a text message to about 30 participants scheduled to meet later that day, saying that the seminar had been canceled. Yu said that the group of detainees was questioned until noon, with the police explaining that they were just following orders from above. The detainees were then retroactively served orders to come to the station on the charge of disturbing public order. Yu said that he and 2 other meeting organizers were released at noon. By 7 p.m., about 18 hours after the first people were picked up, all had been released. It's not clear what, if anything else, will happen to the detainees. One of them told the BBC that similar seminars had been held in the past without incident.
Meanwhile, rights advocates in Taiwan have formed a new group to push for marriage equality. Politicians have been promising to enact legislation to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples for the past few years. But no government has been able to make good on those promises. A draft bill cleared the first reading in the legislative UN last October and was sent to the Judiciary and Organic Laws and Statutes Committee for review. But religious opposition has apparently kept the proposal from going any further. The bill would make all legal references to civil marriage gender neutral, with husband and wife becoming spouse, while leaving the specified rights and obligations of marriage unchanged. Along with its work on marriage equality, according to a media statement, the Lobby Alliance for LGBT Human Rights plans to gather support in the private sector and encourage more gay people to come out with courage and dignity. The alliance has set up a website, pridewatch.tw, to reveal the stances on marriage equality of each lawmaker and mayoral candidate of Taiwan's 5 special municipalities. Cindy Su, the group's chief information officer, said that while more than 30 members of Taiwan's 112-seat legislature have voiced support for the draft bill and around 20 oppose it, more than half have not made their positions public. Large and contentious rallies for and against marriage equality competed on the same day in March in the capital city of Taipei.
Arkansas is the latest of the United States to have its ban on civil marriage for gay and lesbian couples overturned. In his May 9th decision, Pulaski County Circuit Court Judge Chris Piazza called barring those couples from marrying an unconstitutional attempt to narrow the definition of equality. The exclusion of a minority for no rational reason is a dangerous precedent. He also said that the state must recognize the marriages of same-gender couples legally performed in other states. Piazza's ruling adds to a flood of court edicts that have overturned state marriage bans since last year's U.S. Supreme Court ruling struck down a law that barred the federal government from recognizing legally married same-gender couples. In the conclusion of his 13-page ruling, the judge also cited the High Court's 1967 Loving v. Virginia decision that struck down bans on interracial marriage. It has been over 40 years since Mildred Loving was given the right to marry the person of her choice, Piazza wrote. The hatred and fears have long since vanished, and she and her husband lived full lives together. So it will be for the same-sex couples, he predicted. It is time to let that beacon of freedom shine brighter on all our brothers and sisters. We will be stronger for it.
Piazza didn't stay his ruling pending appeal, as some judges have done in other states. That opened the door for lesbian and gay couples in Arkansas to begin getting marriage licenses right away, though the ruling wasn't announced until most county offices around the state had closed for the weekend. But the Carroll County Western District Courthouse in Eureka Springs opened on Saturday, May 10th during its usual hours of 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and issued the state's first marriage licenses to same-gender couples. Eureka Springs is on the Missouri border and not far from the Oklahoma border. There's no waiting period in Arkansas for couples who are at least 18 years old, there's no blood test, and applicants don't need to be residents of the state. Arkansas Attorney General Dustin McDaniel is a Democrat and the only statewide elected official to support marriage equality. But, he says, he believes it's his duty as the state's top lawyer to defend Arkansas laws in court, and he's already asked Judge Piazza to stay his ruling pending an appeal to the state Supreme Court. Same-gender couples who've married in Arkansas before any stay is issued could join their counterparts in Utah and Michigan. The civil marriages of several hundred same-gender couples performed in those two states during brief periods between a ruling overturning their marriage bans and the issuance of a stay remain in legal limbo pending higher court actions.
In other news, Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni took some heat during a visit to London this week over his nation's repressive anti-homosexuality law, condemned around the world as the Jail All the Gays law. He was in the British capital to speak at the UK-Uganda Business Forum, an event apparently backed by the Foreign Office. A demonstration held outside the St. James Court Hotel, where Museveni was delivering his remarks, was organized by the African LGBTI Out and Proud Diamond Group and supported by Stop AIDS and the Peter Tatchell Foundation. Protesters waved flags and banners, played drums, and chanted. British Minister for Africa Mark Simmons reportedly spoke to Museveni earlier at the business forum, telling him that the UK opposes Uganda's anti-gay law. But venerable demonstrator Peter Tatchell said that it was two-faced for the UK government to condemn homophobia while hosting President Museveni, whose government has legislated one of the world's most draconian anti-gay laws.
Meanwhile, longtime Ugandan activist John Long Jones Wambere is seeking asylum in the United States. He was featured in the award-winning documentary Call Me Kuchu and has been interviewed on This Way Out. The veteran 41-year-old activist is being represented by gay and lesbian advocates and defenders who contend that, even before the anti-homosexuality bill was signed, John was outed as gay by newspapers, evicted from his home, beaten up, and received death threats. Now he also faces life imprisonment should he return. Wambere told the Boston Globe that asking for asylum was a very difficult decision. I have devoted my life to working for LGBTI people in Uganda, and it gives me great pain not to be with my community, allies, and friends while they are under increasing attack, he said. But in my heart, I know it is my only option and that I would be of no use to my community in jail.
But finally, two countries have each given out gay men official stamps of approval. The U.S. Postal Service will formally release a first-class forever stamp honoring the late gay political trailblazer Harvey Milk during a ceremony on May 22nd at the White House. Milk would have turned 84 on that day. It will also be Harvey Milk Day in California. The stamp is based on a famous black-and-white photo of Milk taken in 1977 in front of Castro Camera, his business and political headquarters. The design includes a small vertical rainbow in the top left corner. After less than a year in office as a San Francisco supervisor, the first out gay man elected to public office in California was assassinated, along with Mayor George Moscone, in November 1978. Milk's stamp joins other U.S. civil rights icons and progressive politicians, including Rosa Parks and Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm.
And postage stamps in Finland featuring the homoerotic, hypermasculine images of the late Tuukka Laaksonen, better known as Tom of Finland, went on advance sale in mid-April. The First Class 3 stamp set will be officially issued in September. Laaksonen's works featured uber-masculine soldiers, construction workers, lumberjacks, and bikers. Some say his more than 3,500 erotic drawings over four decades, beginning in the mid-1950s, contributed to the development of the gay clone look of the 1970s. A Finnish film director is preparing an authorized biopic about the groundbreaking artist, who's been called the world's most influential creator of gay pornographic images. Within a few days of issue, the international demand for the Tom of Finland series caused the website selling them to crash.
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 10th, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Chris Ann Eastwood.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
I'm Michael Sam. I'm a college graduate. I'm African-American, and I'm gay.
249th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft. The St. Louis Rams select Michael Sam, defensive end, Missouri.
That announcement by National Football League Vice President Mike Kensel on May 10th broke new ground in U.S. professional sports. Standout University of Missouri defensive end Michael Sam finally turned an important page in his life and became a professional football player, and became the first openly gay man to do that. He came out in media interviews earlier this year, thereby also making him the first pro prospect to come out before going pro.
It's a great story, both for the NFL, for sports, you know, and for where we're headed as a society.
Rams COO Kevin Demoff told ESPN Radio that history was certainly being made, but that what Sam can do on the field will be what counts.
I think Michael Sam is a prospect who should be judged by what he did on the field. Obviously, here in Missouri, our fans and Mizzou fans know about the impact he had, you know, for the Tigers. Tremendous leader for his team. Talked with his teammates in the summer. Nothing got out. They respected him. And not only did he have his best season, Mizzou had one of the best seasons in school history. I think that's a great, you know, example of probably what any organization Michael Sam comes into. And the first question is to Mark in the locker room, can the guy play?
St. Louis Rams COO Kevin Demoff. Sam never doubted his destiny. I knew I was going to get picked somewhere, he said. Every team that passed me, I was thinking how I'm going to sack their quarterback. Politics pushes us ahead, but entertainment can move mountains for human rights. Two cases in point later in the program. But let's do the politics first. If the ruler of the tiny Southeast Asian nation of Brunei were to visit Los Angeles, he might find that he has his Beverly Hills Hotel all to himself. Ever since Sultan Hosnal Bolkiah gave the country's new Sharia-inspired penal code his personal blessing, a star-studded boycott has been gaining momentum against the Dorchester Collection luxury hotels he owns. The Feminist Majority Foundation was among the first to take action by pulling its May 5th Global Women's Rights Awards gala out of the hotel at the last minute. Feminist Majority President Eleanor Schmiel minced no words about the harsh new laws that include flogging for women who refuse to wear the hijab, as well as death by stoning for homosexuality.
These are horrific, barbaric penal codes that have no place in the modern society.
Comedian Jay Leno and his wife Mavis served as co-chairs of the relocated Feminist Majority event. The former Tonight Show host spoke at a protest demonstration outside the Beverly Hills Hotel.
What year is this? What is this, 1814? It's, come on, people, it's 2014.
I'd like to think that all people are basically good, and when they realize this is going on, hopefully they will do something about it. I mean, this is not, you know, there's nothing extreme happening here. These aren't, oh, crazy feminist wackos. They're women who just try to protect other women, and gay people protecting other gay. I mean, it just, I don't know, Berlin, 1933, hello. I mean, just Does it seem that far off from what happened during the Holocaust?
Fittingly for Cinco de Mayo, United Farm Workers co-founder Dolores Huerta also joined the demonstration.
Today we're protesting the injustice here by the Sultan, who has come out with these terrible statements against our gay and lesbian community and against women. And we have to let him know that we're not going to stand for this, that he cannot have a business here in the United States of America like the Beverly Hills Hotel and think that he is going to get the support and respect of people here in this community.
While hotel representatives argued that their policies do not reflect the politics of their owner, LA Gay and Lesbian Center CEO Lori Jean justified the boycott.
We are here to take a stand against the religious intolerance of the Sultan of Brunei and their barbaric and inhumane policies that call for the murder of gay and lesbian people and the torture of women. And while the people who work at the local hotels say that they don't discriminate, the fact is every penny of profit that these hotels make lines the pockets of the Sultan of Brunei, and he is supporting murder and torture of gay people and women, and that is not acceptable in any civilized society.
A growing number of high-profile events have checked out of the Beverly Hills Hotel, including the Motion Picture Television Fund's Night Before Oscars party. Ongoing actions in Los Angeles are likely to spread to New York, where the Sultan of Brunei intends to expand his hotel empire. Dorchester Collection hotels in Europe are also being targeted.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
At a wonderfully queer wedding of theater and television in Los Angeles, This Way Out's Chrisanne Eastwood and producer Steve Pride were on hand to celebrate vibrant voices.
For 31 years, the award-winning Celebration Theater has been producing LGBT productions in Los Angeles. The theater was founded in 1982 by gay rights pioneer Charles Rowland, an original member of the Mattachine Society. Celebration is the oldest continuously running queer theater in the country. Celebration Theater's annual fundraiser, the Vibrant Voice Awards, was held Saturday, April 26th at CBS Radford Studios in Studio City. Celebrity performers included original Supreme Mary Wilson, who sang for the adoring crowd and had some sage advice.
We're dealing with gay and lesbian youth and the difficulties that kids are having today still with acceptance. Do you have any words of wisdom for kids out there still struggling with their identity?
It's always been difficult. I mean, it's never been accepted. There are some things that still are not going to be accepted openly, but I think that all people can do or should do is to follow their own sort of inner belief in themselves, and you just have to be strong and live your life as honestly as you can, and whatever that means, whoever you are, you have to do it.
Hi, my name is Michael A. Shepherd. I am the core artistic director of Celebration Theater. It's not like there's a huge history of out gay theater. I mean, there's a huge history of gay theater.
Please, I mean, isn't all theater just sort of gay?
It's sort of gay. Now it's trying to make sure that we look towards the future, but also recognizing and honoring our past.
Now tell us about tonight's event.
It is kind of amazing. We have the cast of Hot in Cleveland reading a script from the Golden Girls.
Oh my goodness.
The four ladies of Hot in Cleveland have graciously donated their time, and I could not be happier. I could not be more proud of the generosity of these beautiful, beautiful women.
We caught up with the original Golden Girl, Betty White, along with her Hot in Cleveland co-stars Valerie Bertinelli, Jane Leaves, and Wendy Malick in the green room before the highly anticipated table read.
Why do you think Golden Girls has such a gay following?
I think the gay community, particularly the male version of the gay community, I think they like old ladies. They really do. They really do. They spoil us. They treat us so beautifully and all that.
They appreciate a broad.
Yeah. I think it's saucy broads. They appreciate broads with a sense of humor.
Did you have a gay houseboy in the first episode?
We had him, and the problem was we didn't expect Estelle Getty to be such a strong character. But when she came in, I mean, she just took over, so she got written so big, there really wasn't any room for him anymore. So we lost that whole gay in the kitchen character, but something I had to give, and poor baby, he did, but we sure had fun with her.
Valerie Bertinelli,
yes.
One Day at a Time. Huge fan, obviously, because I'm
Thanks.
A big dyke, of course.
Really?
Just a little bit. Just on days
did,
ending
what, did you have a big gay following, too?
Oh, my God. We had the hugest crush on you.
Oh.
Are you kidding? Barbara?
It's
Barbara
the boys.
Oh, my God. Joel Polnicek from Facts of Life and Barbara Cooper.
Like, oh.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
So
that makes me happy.
Now that you know that, any chance that we're going to see some One Day at a Time with a little kind of gay lesbian spin to it?
Well, it's been how many years since I last did that show? 1985? I can't do the math. you mean on our show, on Hot in Cleveland?
Well, yes. Is Mackenzie Phillips ever...
And we are still trying to figure out a role for Mac. We've had Pat Harrington, we've had Bonnie Franklin, God rest her soul, and we're hoping to have Mac.
Now, you did have a lesbian sister on our show, though, Laura Sanjacomo.
Yes, Laura Sanjacomo plays my lesbian sister, and I was in love with a lesbian rock star. Played by Amy Asbeck.
No, she was in love
until
with
I.
You.
Oh, she was in love with. Yeah,
you were a big fan.
I was a big fan
go?
Of hers, and yeah. then I realized she was lesbian. So
it's hard.
Melanie's
to tell.
A prude.
It's hard to tell. Women just get together. We just all fall in love, don't
yes.
we?
Yes.
But the golden words of those golden girls weren't pulled out of thin air. A writer, a gay writer, dreamt them up.
Stan Zimmerman, I'm one of the writers of tonight's episode of The Golden Girls. It was very emotional for me. It just brought back so many memories of, you know, being a child writing on the show and watching those four great women saying my words, and then now suddenly these four great women are also saying them. And all that, you know, where I was at those days and where LA was at that time and what it was like to be a closeted gay writer at the time, we couldn't even admit on Golden Girls that we were gay writers. So a lot has changed, and it's very exciting to be a part of this in Celebration Theater.
It may have started as a TV script, but it made for great live theater. And for Celebration's Michael Shepard, that's what it's all about.
I don't think theater in general, particularly in Los Angeles, gets the type of credit it deserves. I mean, there was a big ruckus just recently about LA theater being dead, and I'm here to say that LA theater is not dead in any way, shape, or form. It's a vibrant, beautiful, gifted, amazing scene.
From Stage 19 in CBS Studio Center, I'm Chris Ann Eastwood.
And if you threw a party, you invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
Recalling Israeli trans woman Dana International's stunning 1998 victory, the hugely popular Eurovision Song Contest is no stranger to gender controversy. With regional tensions at a boiling point and homophobic laws on the rise in Eastern Europe, the appearance of Austria's Conchita Wurst in the annual competition set off a wave of protests before the sensational finale. Conchita is a full-on gay drag queen with a full beard whose performance of Rise Like a Phoenix drew charges of Western decadence from anti-LGBT politicians.
Waking in the rubble, walking over glass. Neighbors say we're trouble. Well, the time has passed. Peering from the mirror, no, that isn't me. A stranger getting nearer. Who can this person be? You wouldn't know me at all today. From the fading light I fly. Retribution, you were warned. Once I'm transformed, once I'm reborn, you know I will rise like a phoenix. But you're my flame. Go about your business, act as if you're free.
one could have witnessed what you did to me. 'Cause you wouldn't know me today. And you have got to see, to believe. From the fading light of down, but I'm gonna fly. Rise like a phoenix out of the ashes, seeking rather than vengeance, retribution. You were warned. Once I'm transformed, once I'm reborn, you know I will rise like a phoenix. But you're
bearded Austrian drag queen Conchita Wurst rose like a phoenix to take the grand prize at the Eurovision Song Contest. In brief remarks as she collected the winner's trophy, Wurst claimed more than a personal victory.
This night is dedicated to everyone who believes in a future of peace and freedom. We are unity. And we are unstoppable.
Eurovision Song Contest winner Conchita Wurst was greeted by hundreds of fans singing Rise Like a Phoenix on her return home to Vienna. There were jeers rather than cheers from Russian officials, but votes from the Ukraine helped put Conchita over the top in the competition. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Wenzel Jones and Chris Ann Eastwood contributed program material. Double thanks this week to Steve Pride. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by a grant from the Ivana Foundation, a request from the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and the generosity of our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to support our effort with Pacifica Radio Archives to preserve LGBT audio history during Give Out Day on May 15th, and for links to our blog, Facebook, and Google Plus pages. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email TWORadio@AOL.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WPKN Bridgeport, Connecticut, KUOI Moscow, Idaho, 5GTR Mount Gambier, South Australia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.